Amen. You can all be seated. And what a tremendous, tremendous blessing that was. And I know they have worked very hard and they have did well. And we'll be acknowledging that in just a few minutes here. But make no mistake, they did not do all this to entertain. That's not what it's about. They did that to be able to present a message. That's ministry. And what a message was presented by our choir. At this time, I'd like for you to, if you have your Bibles with you, Proverbs chapter 10, just one verse. I'm not going to be long tonight, but I'm going to try to just kind of bring it all together. It's the first time I heard that, first time I was able to sit and listen to the message of song, being able to identify with a story. And then the song to back up what was taking place in the story, and what a blessing that was. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says this: "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the message and song that we've already heard tonight and for the hard work of our choir. But God, that message of the drama and of the song, it comes from your word. It comes from the hope that you bring to mankind through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Father, as we just spend a couple minutes here in looking at this wisdom of hope, I pray that you would bless. I pray, God, that you would use me once again to bring forth your message to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. In the book of Proverbs, you have a book of wisdom. It's part of the Word of God. And so that means that it was God who inspired it to be written. And it was God who has preserved it for us. As we have the book of Proverbs, it is a book that we look to gain the wisdom of Almighty God. Most of the verses in the book of Proverbs stand alone in presenting a truth or biblical principle that God would have us to learn. These are known as antithetical statements, two statements pointing to one point of wisdom. One lesson that God would have us to learn. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 28, the first statement is, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness." And the opposite of this is the second statement we find in this Proverbs, and that is, "But the expectation of the wicked shall perish." So as we look at this verse and this antithetical statement, we have words that contrast. And the first word of contrast that we want to look to is the word of the righteous. Righteousness in the Bible, and you'll find it throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, simply is defined as what is right in God's eyes. What is right in God's eyes. And so in referring to a person, it is somebody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who understands that their righteousness is filthy rags, but his righteousness imputed into me gives me everlasting life, gives me a forgiveness of all sin, and the wages of sin is death. And so the righteous we are referring to in this proverb, the righteous are the saved believers, those that are saved and putting their faith in a creator God that loved us enough to send his only begotten son to pay our sin debt on Calvary's cross. And that took place in history some 2,000 years ago. It's on our Christian calendar. Amen. As we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate a day when our Savior was born, virgin born, only begotten, one of a kind, Son of God. Lived a perfect life, laid his life down on Calvary's cross some 33 years later to pay a debt that we owed and couldn't pay. We know him to be God because he resurrected on the third day. Amen. Giving us day of Easter on our Christian calendar. Righteousness is the saved, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Versus a second part of this is the wicked. The wicked would be known as the unrighteous. The wicked would be known as those that have no belief in God. They have no belief in God, and so they live their life according to philosophy and vain deceit, which if it's not after the will of God, it's not right in God's eyes, it is looked at as wicked, the unrighteous. The second word that we look at here in contrast to try to understand this particular proverb is the word for the righteous is hope. The hope of the righteous. The definition of hope is the feeling in a person or a thing in which expectations are centered. If you have hope, it is a feeling that you have. It is a feeling of that which you have placed in a person or a thing in which expectations are centered. The righteous have put their hope in the person of Jesus Christ. Our hope is in who He is and what He has promised us, in that He has given to us everlasting, eternal life. In contrast to the wicked having expectations in the world, for they do not believe in God. They do not look to Him, but their expectations can only be in that which they see, in that which they touch, this world. The third word that grouped this together to make up this proverb is for the righteous, their hope shall be gladness. Shall be gladness. Beyond our hope. Our hope is in Christ. It's in the words of God. It's in the promises. And the end of that, our hope, it will be beyond, so far above our hope. For it will be gladness versus the expectations of the wicked shall perish. They're empty. They have no value. Wow. So as we look at this verse once again, this proverb, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness. But the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The question is your hope in God? Or do you have expectations in this world? In closing, Psalm chapter 42, the psalmist, I think, brings it together when he says this. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? But when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holiday. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him, for the help of his countenance. Can I tell you, if your hope is in God, you really have all that you need. You have everything, not only to live this life, but also as we face eternal life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed for just a minute. The choir has given us a great truth and song. We've seen this drama, this program of how it changed a man that had no hope and was ready to take his own life. But once he found the truth in Jesus Christ, it changed everything. Can I tell you, that's a reality for us all? Putting your trust in Jesus Christ will give you the hope of God, and it will change everything here and in eternity. It will be gladness. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you can't go back to a point in time when somebody showed you the words of God and what God says a person must do to be saved, an invitation time, which we're going to be given in just a minute, gives you an opportunity to come to this altar and let somebody take that Bible, God's holy word, and share with you what the Bible says a person must do to be saved and have this hope that can change our lives. Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you once again for your presence. Thank you for the message we've heard tonight in song. And now I pray as we go into this invitation, God, that you would use it. God, that you would speak to all that are here. If there's anyone here tonight that does not know where they'd spend eternity, if their eyes were to close in death tonight, Lord God, they have no hope. I pray and I trust, God, that they would come to this altar and let somebody share with them the words that you have given to us, that they might receive this hope tonight. Bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.